thing in common that we're trying to make it through this world by the help of God and each other to lift us up. And when we hear songs like we've heard this morning, it ought to thrill your hearts. Be able to feel the presence of the Lord. And I want you today for a few minutes of time just to allow God to move in your life. Whatever it is that you've got on your heart today, that you will let God speak to you in a way that He wants to move in your life, in your heart today, and just make everything so much better. For some, it would be getting right with God. Some of you that know the Lord as your Savior, but you've been disobedient and you need to get back to God, I pray that this would be your day. And for those of you that may be lost and undone, never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that this would be that day for you. Or maybe some of you that's broken and you just need to come and ask God to help you with whatever it is in your life or today. And even that, as I look over this congregation, many of you have made this your home. If there's others that need to do so, maybe this is that day for you to move. I want you and I just to follow God. Amen. And if we'll all do our part, God will bless us in a mighty, mighty way. In the book of Isaiah, in the 61st chapter, reading the first three verses today, since Clarence wouldn't, I know that even though they may not be preaching, I know my brothers are pushing along and praying for us this morning. He says in the first verse, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, and He might be glorified." And stop reading there in verse 3. And you can be seated in the house of God. And I'd like to take our thought from that first verse about the good tidings. Good tidings. We need some good tidings. We need a word from God that will just come down and manifest itself in our hearts, in our lives. And I'm not talking about good tidings because of everything that's going on in the world, but I believe that it ought to be good tidings to us when we are able to say, "I know the Lord as my Savior and as my friend." This is a prophecy that is given by the prophet Isaiah of a day to come. A day when not just a prophet or a man would proclaim the word of God, but the day that the Messiah himself would be able to perform these many wonderful works for his people. And I say this often in our preaching, but God has been so good to us. The Lord has blessed us in so many ways that you and I, it might take the first million years just to thank Him for all that He did for us while we were here. He watched over us. He blessed us. He gave us all things that we had need of. And He allowed us to feel His blessed Holy Spirit way down below the collarbone. And I just want to praise Him this morning that there is nothing like being able to feel the presence of the Lord in your heart and soul. And know it's not conviction. To know that it's not that He's come to announce a penalty for your sin, but that he's just stopped by for a few minutes of time just to bless you. As Rachel testified, that sometimes we go around the house singing our songs, out in the field doing our duties or mowing the grass, or maybe even at the job site where we're just walking around. We're there in body, but the Lord is blessing us in spirit, and we just appreciate him being with us and letting us know that God is still God. Here, the prophet Isaiah said that there is good tidings in the book of, as we go over and find this where this is quoted in the book of Luke. In the Greek, it means that God and his word is good news. People say the world is full of bad news. And I say it is, and you're right. But God is good news. No matter how bad it may look on the outside, you know what he said? Jesus said, in this world you shall have bad news. You'll have tribulation. You'll have trouble. But be of cheer, good cheer, for I have overcome the world. To bring us good news that you and I need in our life. And there's so many things that's in this first verse that we'll not be able to touch them all, but look at all the things that he said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing, Brother Lloyd. But the Lord, he was prophesying about the day that the Lord would come. And you remember when he was baptized there in the river of Jordan. And after he was baptized, the Bible says that the heavens opened up and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And the voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then we know that he not only was man, but he was God in the flesh. And he came to a world that was filled with bad news to bring some good news. In fact, can I preach this morning? He is the good news. Yeah, he is the good news. No matter how dark it may seem, I have Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Is that not good news to you in your life and good tidings that he said he would bring? And the good news that Isaiah was talking about is that I'm preaching about a man to come. But when he comes, he'll preach things that will set you free. He'll preach unto you good tidings unto the meek. You see, the message of God is not a message as the world would have you to think, that this book is a book of hatred, but this book is a book of good news. The best news that's in here is that God came to save sinners. He came to save you and I. And this ought to make a Baptist church happy on Sunday morning. Where would we be without the Lord as our Savior? We would be filled with bad news. We wouldn't have any joy like we have today. And we would live our world, Sister Darlene, as you requested prayer for that friend, with the fear of dying, not knowing or knowing that we would not make it to heaven when this life come to an end. I don't look forward to death, but I do look forward to the day that I can leave all the trouble behind and go to a place where every day is going to be good news. In fact, I shouldn't say every day. I should say the day, because it's only the day is going to start and it's never going to come to an end. We'll be praising the Lord for all eternity. The Bible is the good news of Jesus Christ unto a world that needs another word from God. We need people today that believe the word of God and stand upon it. We're living in a time when people don't want to take this as the word of God anymore. They say, give us a different version or a different revision, or give us something that is easier and maybe not filled with so much hatred. Brother Ron, to that I say, this book is love from the front cover to the back cover. It's filled with love in such that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. It's filled with good news that no matter what you have done in your life and how far you have strayed away from God, God can still save you today. It gives us good news that no matter what you've been through, God is able to pick you up out of that miry pit and give you a life that is worth living today. I've got trouble. You've got trouble in this world. But I still, in my heart, I've got good news. I'm a child of God. He loves me, and I love Him. And He said He would provide everything I had need of along this journey, and I want to give Him praise in the house of God today. I have never gone without anything that I've had need of. When I needed food, it was there. When I needed clothing, it was there. When we needed transportation, it was there. People say, well, you've always been that way. No. There's been times Becky and I didn't have two nickels to rub together. But you know what? God made a way for fuel to be in the gas tank. He made a way for the lights to stay on and for the mortgage to be paid. You say, you believe God did all that? He is my God, and besides Him, there is none other today. We need more good news of people standing up and bragging on what God has done for them. You say, but I did it. I'm the one who worked. I'm the one who earned the money to pay the bills. Who gave you the strength to do it? And we don't like to acknowledge this sometimes, but who gave you the intellect, Billy? I believe God blesses us with the knowledge to grow. I look at some of these people as we walk past their coffins, and I think about all the knowledge that they have taken with them out of this world. Sometimes I said, God, you know how bad we need them in our church. You know we need them there to be teachers and preachers and to be lay members in the house of God. Why are you taking them home? But God has got a bigger plan today than I do. You see, God take them home that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. And today some of you are the works of our predecessors that preached the gospel, stood on the gospel, and proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ. Where would we be, Brother Lloyd, without our forefathers blazing the way for us? He said that He come to bring good news, good tidings unto the meek. The scripture teaches us today, and I want to turn over there real quickly to this word. As we see about the meekness that He is talking about, sometimes we think that that just allows people to walk all over you and do whatever they want to. That's not what meekness means today in God's word. In fact, I say that we ought to stand up for our own rights. Amen? Hey, can I preach for a few minutes today? We're living in a world where everybody else has the right to stand up for their rights, what they believe. I believe it's time for the redeemed of God to stand up and say, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved to the uttermost, and I am proud that I am a child of God. I'm proud that I'm different than the rest of the world. I don't want to look like you. I don't want to talk like you. I don't want to act like you, because I've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and He brought me out to be a separated person, no more to look like the world and act like the world, but to stand up and proclaim the word of God. See, to be meekness is the quality of being patient in the reception of injuries. It also means to stand opposed to malice and revenge. How many of us today, when somebody hits us, we want to hit them right back? When somebody says something mean to us, we want to say something mean back to them. When somebody says something about the way we live our life, we want to give a rebuttal right back to them. You know what Jesus did when they falsely accused him? Thou sayest. You see, we don't always, if we've got the good news in us, there ought to be times that we can just walk away and say nothing at all. You say, oh, Brother Emerson, that's hard to do. How many of you on a Sunday morning will confess sometimes it's hard to control the tongue? And I'll give you some good news. James talked about it. It's the smallest of all members, but it's mighty. Amen. We talked about that before church, did we not? You let somebody, when that tongue starts rattling, it's hard to stop it. It's like putting your hand in a turban. All you're going to do is hurt yourself and still not stop it. And some of you say, oh, Roger, get back to the message. And I better not put that thought in there. But we need to be meek. God's people ought to be humble, but not to allow the world to walk on us. But we have a right to stand up for what we believe. Not to argue. I've seen people argue about the Word of God. The Word of God is not to argue about. You go with what God has blessed you with the knowledge of, the revelation and the insight. We're not going to see eye to eye on everything in this book. But I believe we can see eye to eye on the major doctrinal points of the Word of God. Jesus came by the Virgin Mary. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross for your sins and mine. But praise God, on the third and appointed morning, He arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. If that's not good tidings to you today, you need to get saved by the grace of God. Because without the resurrection, we're all lost and still in our sins. He said, let me give you some good tidings unto the meek. And Debbie, he had sent him to bind up the brokenhearted. I shared with many of you, well, all of you today. On Thursday, we was with the brokenhearted. On Friday, I was with the brokenhearted. Yesterday morning, I talked to the brokenhearted. And you know what? None of us has the words to say to heal the brokenhearted. But when my heart has been so broken, I have to go back to the comfort that I found. And you know where it came from? God sent the Holy Spirit by our way. How many of you know what I'm preaching about this morning when your heart was so broken? The loss of a loved one, if that don't grip your heart, something is wrong with you. But God would send the Holy Spirit by. And even though we still cried, even though we still missed Him, there was a peace that God gave. God doesn't want us to erase the memories, but God wants us to keep going on. And He'll heal us. And even though we're broken on the inside, God will say, it's going to be better. Because we pray for our God to heal our people. And sometimes the only healing God can give them is to take them out of this world and on home to be with Him. And I say one more time, won't it be wonderful there? Let me move on and close. He said to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them are bound, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And see, Jesus said, I'm not telling you about one to come. Jesus said it like this. What you heard Isaiah say, let me talk about it for a minute. He was there in the temple in the synagogue, and they gave him the book of Isaiah. When he opened and read the book, and I'm in Luke, the fourth chapter, he found a place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." How many of y'all will recognize and acknowledge today, one day we was broke, we was destitute, we was poor, we didn't have anything. You could have the finest of everything and still have nothing. But one day we stood and we realized that we was poor. What does that mean, Roger? That means if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all your other accomplishments in this world will stay behind to somebody else. You don't know him. You're poor. You're busted. You're destitute. But to those of us that know Jesus Christ, I'm rich. Oh, somebody say it with me. I'm rich today. I once was poor, but Jesus saved my dying soul, and he turned my life around. Oh, hallelujah. How many of us can acknowledge, folks, if Jesus hadn't come to my life, there's no telling where I would be today. But I want to praise him on a Sunday morning that I am rich beyond measure because I've got Jesus with me on this side of the river. He walks with me and he talks with me. He blesses me. He watches out for me. And this is the best part. He cares for me. He loves me today. He loves me so much that before I ever was, he prepared a place in heaven just for me. And I get to go there today, church. And if that don't make you want to rejoice, your wood is plumb soaking wet because God has blessed us with everything that we have need of. He said to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted. You see, the gospel is the only thing that can break your heart. Signing a card and joining the church won't do it. Reading the Bible won't do it. Going to Sunday school and participating in every service won't do it. You have to be broken. You know what he said in his word? The Bible tells us that it's better for God's word to break us, right? For us to be broken in spirit than it is for us to be ground into powder. I don't have much faith in this new religion and doctrine that's going on, where you just walk down the aisle and shake somebody's hand, repeat a prayer after them, and everything is all right. I didn't get it that way. Oh, I got to shut up here soon. But how many of you remember when you was broken? I've had a lot of sorrow in my days. I've seen loved ones that I've had to stand over and weep as they left this world. But I want to tell you today, I have never been as broken as I was when the gospel message came to my heart mixed with the Holy Ghost, and it tore me to pieces and made me realize I was going to die and go to hell. But praise God, the good news came as the church kept on praying, and the best thing I ever did do was when I stepped out behind the pew, made my way down to an altar, called upon Jesus Christ, and the burden was lifted. I no longer was broken, but I was healed by the Spirit of God. And I no longer was poor, but he made me rich through and by being his son. To preach deliverance to the captives. Yes, Satan had me bound. If you don't know Jesus Christ today, you are in Satan's jailhouse. He's got you locked up. And some folks, Brother Ron, you can tell they belong to Satan by the way they look. God's people look a certain way. And let me tell you this. There are some people out there that look like God's people that aren't God's people. Not everybody likes being in Satan's jailhouse. And they try to change the outward appearance like the Pharisees did. But the inside is still as locked up can be. See, you can't look at a person and tell what's going on in their life. You can't look at them and tell whether they're saved or not. Unless there are these that are, you know, we got a lot of Satan worshipers today. Yeah. They won't, some of them won't profess it out publicly, but many of them are proud. You know, we've got a satanic church where they worship him. And you say, Roger, you watch way too much news. You believe everything they're saying? No. Most of the news that I'm talking about, they won't tell you about. How many kids are going missing? And it is speculated that some of those children are being sacrificed unto Satan. You say, Roger, you shouldn't bring that up in church. I'm bringing it up in church to tell you moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, you better watch your children. You better watch them. Did you know that Ohio is one of the states with the highest number of missing children? And what, they're not being sacrificed to Satan, they're using them for prostitution. And some of them, they're cutting out their organs and selling them. You say, that can't happen in America. You better open your eyes. It's happening right under our noses, and we decide to look the other way. You know, God's people better start looking forward and saying, it's time we stand up for what is right, and we don't have to accept what's happening in our land today. He said, the recovering of the sight to the blind. We all was blind. Blind as could be. You say, but you can see. Let me tell you about this blindness. Before I got saved, I thought, Jack, that preacher and those singers have got this church convinced about what they're singing and preaching about. How do they know it's real? See, I was blind to what was happening all around me. But one day, just like Saul, the Lord sent the gospel. And the scales were removed. And although I'd been spiritually blind to everything going on that day, I said, whoa, this is real. You know what made it real? Conviction in my heart like I never felt before. I'd gone to church all my life. My dad, well, I say all my life, from the time my dad got saved when I was 2 years old. So from the age of two on, I went to church, but that day was different than any other day because my eyes were opened. Not my natural eyes, my spiritual eyes were opened. And even though at the time I thought it was bad news, because you see, I'd lay on the bed worrying about dying and going to hell because I rejected God. But here comes some good news. Although you're lost and away from God, God loves you. He don't want to see you die and go to hell. People say, God won't send people to hell. And you're right. God, the only one that God put in hell was a devil and a third part of the angels that fell with him. Everybody else is going because they choose to go there. And there's so many going that the writer said that hell has had to expand her boundaries. You'll not read where heaven has had to expand her boundaries. And you that's been with me for any time, you know why. God made heaven big enough that every man, woman, boy, or girl from Adam to the end of time would get to go there. But people reject God. in my closing remarks while they get a song of invitation. You see, you have good news today, good tidings. But if you reject God, you'll have bad news, bad tidings. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. You say, oh, that's so sad. I thought God loved everybody. He does. That's why he sent the good tidings. Isaiah prophesied about it. Jesus said, let me tell you what Isaiah said, but not only what Isaiah said, but here I am. I'm here. I'm here to bring you the message that will set you free. Some of you today, God has moved in your heart today or in days past. And you know you need to move and get right with the Lord. You might be a church member that's just got cold and indifferent. That's one of the things that I worry so much about this COVID-19. People have gotten used to not going to church. Some are even using it as an excuse not to go to church. And I'm not saying everybody that's not here is using it as an excuse. God knows my heart. But people, as Lloyd said at the opening of the service, we better open our eyes so while the devil is working. The first thing he attacked was the home. If you can separate the home, you got a victory. Now he's separating the church. And if he gets us to where we feel comfortable not going to church, what a victory he's got. Can I say this without hurting anybody's feelings? You can't get off of a TV or a radio program what you can get in the house of God. It's not just the worship. It's the fellowship. And you see, Satan's even got our hands bound there to where we can't hug each other. We can't, you know, shake hands like we did. We can't even take up the offering like we used to. But let me tell you this. Satan may be laughing now, but I've brought you good tidings this morning. He may be laughing right now, but I believe that there's a bunch of people that love God enough to say, Lord, help us get past this to where we can open up the doors again and where we can fellowship again, to where we can come together as brothers and sisters. You know, what the devil's got us doing is treating each other like we're just acquaintances. You are more to me than just an acquaintance. You're my family today. And family needs each other. Amen. As I said in the opening, no matter what you need, what you feel with your heart you ought to do, we invite you to take that step out behind that pew. Come down to an altar. If you're worried about COVID, we'll stay 6 feet away from you. But you ought to be more worried about your relationship with God than anything else. Those of you that need to get saved, you've never really been saved. You may have went to church, but going to church don't make you saved. Amen? We invite you to come. Or, I'm just preaching my heart to you this morning. God wants you to be a part of this fellowship. You say, well, Roger, you don't do that very often. I ask God this morning, just let me do whatever it is that you would have me to do. You see, I believe, and this is, I'm going on, Brother Ron, but for just a moment, I believe God's people, when the Spirit speaks to you, you ought to move without somebody trying to entice you. Somebody trying to... I don't come to your pew and try to drag you to the altar. I don't come to your pew and try to talk you in to come and pray. Because I believe it like this. Nobody did that to me. If God ain't big enough to get you to come, who am I? So would you stand to your feet this morning and ask God, just make a deal with Him. Say, Lord, help me to follow my heart, what You've given me to do this morning. Help me today. Would you do that? You that are saved and away from God. You that are saved and know you're saved. Those of you that are lost, come on today. You know, just about everywhere I go, and you go, we got to have that mask on. I told Clarence on Thursday at the funeral, I can't speak with that mask on. I barely get enough oxygen without the mask. I can't do it. But you know, COVID is real, don't get me wrong. But I believe that there is a power that is showing how much control they can have over you and I. Amen. It's real. But not just that, but everything that's going on in the world. It's saddening when you listen to it all and what's happening in people's lives. But today, as we leave here, I want you and I to leave knowing God is still on the throne. He is still in control. And no matter what the enemy does or says, God will get the final victory. He's got the final victory for you and for I and for this world today. Don't worry about God. He's okay. He's okay. He knows exactly the works of the devil. And you and I, if you've been saved any time at all, you know how the devil works. And he's working hard right now. So I pray that you'll have a good week. And I understand that Claremont County is not red anymore. They're orange. And that's great. I appreciate that. Let's continue to pray for that. And maybe get with Brother Ron. I know we've talked about, and Terry, and talked about opening up Wednesday night. And how many of y'all are in favor of opening up Wednesday night? Would you raise your hands in the house of God? All right. When y'all want to start? Somebody talk to me now. Well, let's start with Wednesday, and then we can start looking at Sunday school maybe Brother Ron, y'all pray about it, talk about it amongst yourselves. And Brandon said that very thing to me this morning. He said, it's strange not going to Sunday school, ain't it? It's like, yeah, we haven't had Sunday school in 6 months. Is that right? About 6 months. So be much in prayer about that. And nobody said, when you want to start back Wednesday nights? All right, this Wednesday. That'll be the 2nd of September. Is that all right with everybody? Raise your hands. All right. All right. I'll see you here Wednesday night. 6 o'clock. 6:30. Yeah, it's been a long time. 6:30 on Wednesday night, all right? And we'll give that a run, and then we'll start talking about Sunday school. All right? God bless you. Have a great week. Come out Wednesday night now. I'm looking for you. God bless you today.